not only tonight to hear a message from God with our ears, but to hear it with our hearts and to put it to practice. Back in 2010, to be about 6 years ago, not quite 6 years ago, my wife and I decided to relocate a little closer to our church. And I had been ordained minister about a year before, and I really wanted to be in the close area of our congregation. I lived about 60 miles away. It wasn't the ideal thing for a pastor of a church to live 60 miles from 90% of his members. And so I moved into the community there, and I purchased a property. We purchased a property from an elderly lady who had been a widow for a number of years. Her husband had died of cancer. And she had this property. It's 12 acres. And, you know, as time went on, it kept getting smaller and smaller, the area that she mowed. And when we bought this property, it had gotten to where the grass was mowed about 30 feet away from the house. And normally, beforehand, there was about 7 acres of yard. And it had gotten down to where there was this area in the front lawn and around the back side on the north and on the west side of the house. It was just about 30 feet away from the house, and then it was just brush beyond that. When we went and looked at this property, I wasn't quite sure what I was getting, because when you pulled up to the garage and you looked out in the backyard, there was grass that was about 3 to 4 feet tall, and it went on beyond, and it got even taller than that in the backyard. But we purchased this property, and over a period of time, we began to clean it up. Kind of bothered me to have this yard, and it looked kind of bad. And so we began uncovering things. And as we went out there and we tried to mow, we kept stumbling across rock piles, and we kept stumbling across junk piles and tree stumps and things like that. But we worked on cleaning it up. But about a year and a half or two afterwards, after we had got things mostly cleared up and we had things kind of in different areas, I became really frustrated with all the little trees that were all over the yard. And as you tried to mow, it didn't matter what direction you went, you were always trying to go around these trees. And we also had a lot of poison ivy. So one day, one Friday, I jumped in my semi when I got done at work, and I put my payloader on the back of on the trailer, and I brought it home. I brought that payloader home, and I decided the next day I was going to do some cleanup in my yard. I was going to get rid of some of these trees. There was quite a few of them that I was pretty sure I was going to get rid of. And Saturday morning dawned, and it was a nice day. I can remember it just as clear as if it was yesterday. I went out there on my payloader, and I began tearing out these bushes and these gathering up rock piles and working in my yard. And I went from tearing out bushes to taking out some trees. And the trees that I took out kept getting larger. And finally, I had all of them taken care of that I wanted to get rid of, except for two trees that were right beside a power line. Now, on my property, we sit about 300 feet off the road, and there's electric service comes in off the road, comes straight in 300 feet to a pole, and then it makes a 90-degree turn and it goes straight south to my house. It's about 150 feet to my house. But right in this corner where this electric pole is, if you can picture it in your mind with me, we got the electric pole, and right in line with that power line that goes on to my house, there was all these little trees down through there, but there was two big trees, and they grew right alongside that wire, and they had one set of branches that came up on one side of the wire and some on the other. And so I went out there, and I took the branches off on the one side, and I pushed one of those trees over. I eyeballed it, figured out which direction I wanted. I took my payloader and came up to it, and I shoved that tree over, and it fell out. And I had one, take that back, I had one more to go. I was on my second to last tree. And I looked at that tree, and the tree was a healthy tree. It was a nice tall tree. It was probably 35, maybe close to 40 feet tall. It was right up there in the corner. And I knew if I didn't do something with this tree, that down the road I was going to have problems with my electric wires. And so I came up there to the tree and I got on an angle. And we had this corner here, and I had on an angle to fell that tree right directly away from that corner. And I got up to the tree and I pushed on it. I tested it a little bit. I went ahead and gave it the throttle, and that tree started to topple over. And as it began to gain momentum, it was falling directly in the direction that I wanted, directly away from that corner. And about the time that it left the contact of my loader bucket, that tree halted for a moment, and it swung around to the left, and it crashed with a bang right into those electric wires. And there was a loud sound, sounded like a shotgun, and I heard the AC unit on the house shut down. And pretty soon afterwards, the door opened and my wife came out, and we were startled. And after I had assured her I was okay, I walked over and I looked at that tree because I wanted to know what was wrong, what was different about this tree, what had happened, that all the other trees that I pushed over, I think there was 30-some trees I took care of in the 20s, or around 30 trees I had taken care of that morning. And every one of them, when I pushed on them, went fairly much where they were supposed to go. But this one tree, as I pushed on that tree, and as it began to fall, the direction changed. Everything looked like it was going to be okay. And as I walked over to that tree, up on that north side of the tree, and this tree was still laying on the wires at this point in time. It was still hanging there. But there were two roots that went way down deep on that north side of that tree. And as those other roots cut loose, those two roots were the deep-rooted roots of that tree. And they determined the direction that tree fell. Those two roots made all the difference. Tonight, I want to think about that tree, those roots of that tree and that incident there. I'd like to bring a message tonight titled, "The Truth About Your Life." I'd like to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 12, for an opening scripture reading here. Luke chapter 12, and I'd like to use the end of verse 1 and verse 2 for our text this evening. I'd like to just begin reading here in Luke chapter 12 at verse 1 and read down through verse 5. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon the other, he began to say unto his disciples, this is Jesus speaking, to his disciples first of all, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be ye not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Jesus was speaking to his disciples here, and the verses that we want to really base our sermon on this evening, the part that we want to base our sermon on, is, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." Tonight, my dear people, what is the truth about your life? Here in these verses, Jesus was not talking about a bunch of evil people. He wasn't talking about those who were in the slums of the city. He wasn't talking about those who stayed away from church. But he was talking about a group of people who, if they lived in our culture, would probably be part of our church. He was talking about a group of people who, when they had revival services, they would be here for the prayer service. They would be here in plenty of time. They would make sure that they left their work in plenty of time to be here on time, Sunday after Sunday, or on revival services every evening. He was talking about a group of people who were quick to admonish those who weren't following the Bible to the letter of the law. He was talking about a group of people who shared concerns about those who were not living just exactly how they felt the Bible said. And Jesus said here in verse 2, "Don't be fooled into thinking that you can be a hypocrite and find peace. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nothing hidden that shall not be known." God knows the truth about my life. He knows the truth about your life. Do we really know what's going on inside? Thinking back to the trees, those trees in my yard, I see a comparison between trees and in our spiritual lives today. A tree's leaves the foliage that you see on a tree is a lot like our bodies are to our inner spiritual man. A tree's leaves and their branch system helps with sustaining the tree. Those leaves bring in the nutrient. The sun shines and we have that whole process where the trees get their food from the sunshine and from the rain, and it comes in through the leaves. And in a real way, as you look at a tree, you can tell the health of that tree by the leaves. You don't tell the health of the tree by the root system, but you tell the health of the tree by the leaves, the branches that you see. But you know, down underneath the ground, underneath that tree, there's a root system that gives the tree its stability. There's a root system underneath that tree that gives it stability, that is connected to a water source where that tree finds nutrients and stability in its root system. The life of the tree is directly hinged on the nutrients that it receives from its root system. And if one of those roots gets tapped into some type of a chemical, even though the rest of the tree looks good, if that root is tapped into some type of a chemical that will kill that tree will die. You know, as humans, as we think about trees, as humans we have an inner spiritual man. And whether we really think about it or not, that inner spiritual man is being fed. The things we see, the books we read, the thoughts we ponder, the friendships we build, the things that we hear, these things all feed our inner man. We have this invisible root system, if you will, that goes out from our hearts, that pull in nutrients from sources that we allow to influence us. And I want to make it clear tonight that it comes from sources that we allow to influence us. We do have control in many ways. We have control of what we will allow to influence our lives through these root systems. We decide, whether consciously or subconsciously, what we're going to feed on, what we're going to allow before our eyes, what we're going to allow our heart to ponder. You know, this evening, as long as a tree looks green and healthy on the outside, Many times we look at the tree and we don't give it much thought. It looks pretty good. And we see that healthy tree in our yard, and we say, well, everything's going fine. We don't take a lot of time to inspect that tree very closely. You know, sometimes in our churches, there are those of us trees, those of us Christians who appear to be pretty good on the outside. And so those of us, those around us, looking on, assume everything is okay. And we don't put up, we don't check things out. Tonight, you and I are faced again with this question. What is the truth about your life? And tonight for a message, I'd like to look at three questions just to help us evaluate our hearts this evening. I want to look at three simple questions. Number one, as we think about the health of our tree, of our spiritual life, as we think about the truth about my life, I want to think about three questions. Number one, what are you feeding on? Number two, what takes priority in your life? And number three, what comes out of your mouth? I'd like to look at them in that order this evening. I'd like to begin with the first question, what are you feeding on? Tonight, our hearts are, as it says in Jeremiah, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And tonight, I believe it's in our heart is one of those things that many times we can't just look at it. We can't just say, when someone says, what's going on in your heart? What is the condition of our heart? We can't just look at their heart and say, well, it looks pretty good. We can't do that. But we have to take and evaluate some things about our heart. And tonight we want to think, first of all, here about what are you feeding on? Because I believe with all my heart tonight that what a person feeds on will eventually make them. What a tree feeds on will have an effect on the tree's life. And what you and I feed on this evening is preparing our heart, is conditioning our heart either for God or for failure. Tonight, I believe all of us realize that we feed our mind and our spiritual man through our five senses. We have five senses. We have taste, we have feel, we have seeing, we have hearing, we have smelling. I believe we all realize that we feed our inner man through those five senses. But I believe beyond those five senses, there's a few other ways that we feed our inner man. And I don't claim to have all the answers. I don't claim to have the whole picture covered. And so if there's other areas, I'd like to hear from you after the service or whenever. But I believe that we know that we feed it through our five senses, but we also feed our spiritual man on what we think on, what we dream about, and what we desire to have. There's this thought process. There's these thought processes that go on inside of our minds. And while we may never have seen it, while we may never have tasted it, while we may never have smelled it, we've never actually physically had it within one of our five senses. Yet we can feed our minds, our inner man, by our thought processes. I'd like to just turn back a page or so here from Luke to Luke chapter 11 and verse 34. As we think about what are you feeding on this evening. It says here in verse 34, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also was full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no pass, no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. It talks here, this verse here talks about that our bodies, outside influences, have an influence on our inner man. The things that we see, the things that we allow ourselves to take in through our senses, have an influence on us. This verse talks about our senses having the ability to influence us for good or for evil. But I believe that the verse goes deeper than just simply our natural eye. I think this verse implies, these verses imply that our natural, that things beyond our natural senses can have an effect on our lives. And that we have the ability, this verse makes it clear that we have the ability to either control what we allow into our hearts, into our inner man. Friends, tonight, it's a dangerous thing to wait until evil fruit is being produced to look at our hearts and try to figure out what the problem is. It's a dangerous thing to assume that as long as the fruit on the tree is still looking pretty good, that everything's okay. It's a dangerous thing to wait until the fruit from our lives begins to be corrupt, and then to start looking for problems, then to start looking to see what is being fed, what are we feeding on. Tonight, what are you feeding on? What thoughts come naturally back to you when you're not focusing on anything? When you're driving to the job, I drive 50 some miles to work every day. And so you leave the house in the morning and your mind's still processing what you had for devotions, and you're still thinking about God and you're thinking about work. And then, at least in my mind, it sort of comes to the point that after about 30 minutes or so, a lot of times my mind just starts to, you know, you're tired and it's early in the morning and it just kind of goes, and sometimes you catch yourself, well, how did that come up? What do you think about? Friends, this evening, what do you think about when you're not focusing on anything? Jesus makes it clear that what we look at and dwell on fills us, whether it is good things or evil. I'd like to just turn quickly to Philippians chapter 4 and read these classic verses. I think we all know them. As we think about what we're feeding on, what we think about. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then he goes on and kind of gives us a little clue of how we keep our hearts and minds. One of the things we can do: "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and hear and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." I ask you again tonight, what are you feeding on? What are you thinking on? Is it on things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, things of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are positive. It says, if there be any praise, if there be anything that turns your heart to God in thankfulness and praise, think on these things. Is it on things that build good character, or will it tear you down? We heard a little bit about music tonight. What about your music? What are you feeding on in your music? Does the music that you listen to, sure, it falls underneath the guidelines of not being instrumental music, no stringed instruments. I hope that you've accepted that place in your life where you've submitted to that authority. But does the music that you listen to, does it turn your heart to God? Is it music that takes your mind off the singer and turns you into a worship experience with God? Or is it music that makes you think, wow, what a great singer that is that's singing that solo? What a great group this is. What about your music? What are you feeding on? What about the books that we are reading? You know, as I was thinking about this message, the question just hit me. Why do I read the reading material I read? Why do I? What is there something more than just, you know, I just have a taste for, you know, Outdoor Life magazine. I'm just a hunter. Why do I read what I read? Does my reading material, do my reading habits encourage my relationship with Jesus Christ? Or do they crowd out my time? Do the things that I read intrigue my mind so much, and are they of secular value to the point that when I pick up the Word of God in the morning and I begin reading, and I read down through here and I find something and it makes me think about what I was reading last evening, and somehow or another what I read last evening can just fit in with this, and I say, yes, God, I blend this all together? Or does my reading habits distract my time with God to the point that as I'm reading down through these scriptures, I'm planning my day of work. I'm somehow or another thinking about that vehicle that I need to purchase. I'm thinking about my farming or my trucking that needs to be done, or what I need to do to improve in there. There are a lot of good books out there, and there are a lot of well-written books, books that are well worth reading, that don't spend tremendous amount of time talking about God. But yet, I think it's important this evening, as we think about what we're feeding on and the truth about our life, I think it's important that the books and the reading material that are in our homes would not hinder our walk with God, would not somehow or another cause us to stumble and cause us to take our minds away from the scriptures and study of God's Word. Another area I thought about on what are you feeding on, I had to think about a relatively new, I say relatively new, it's getting old, tool that Satan has brought upon us, seems like with a vengeance, and that's DVDs and movie clips. You know, we talked about DVDs, and we said DVDs are supposed to be for instructional purposes only, and we've fudged those lines a little bit. But now there's a lot of us that have smartphones, and on that smartphone we have access to movie clips. And tonight, I'm concerned that we draw a hard line on those movie clips, just like we did on those DVDs. And we say, if it's a movie clip, it's an instructional movie clip. And if it's not educational, if it's not something that helps us with our education, I think we need to be scared to go there, because pretty soon we'll find ourselves entertained and our children will be sitting there at home, entertained by the world system. Tonight, what are you feeding on? Does this diet promote spiritual growth? Does it include a healthy balance of Bible reading, Bible study, and contemplating on the Word of God? Does what you're feeding on this evening tell you the truth about your life? When you are under conviction, does what you read stir within you a realization that I need to change? Or does what you read soften the pain, knock off that uncomfortable feeling, give you laughter when there's really not peace in your heart? Does it stimulate lustful thoughts? Does it stimulate pride? Or does your diet produce an awareness of God? Can you read? Is your diet, your reading diet, and the things that you see, is it such that you can read that? If you're a farmer, you read that successful farming magazine, and you can determine in your heart to put a little more effort forth to be a better steward for God. I don't think it's wrong to read those things, but I think it's important this evening that we evaluate our diet and we think about what are we reading on, because what are we feeding on? Because what we feed on will cause something to grow in our hearts. I want to move on quickly to the second point this evening. Second question: what takes priority in your life? As we think about, as we're evaluating the truth about our heart, one of the things that tells us a lot about where we really are at is what takes priority in my life. So, verse in Matthew chapter 6, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And that verse is taken in the context, it's taken out of a place in Scripture where Jesus tells them, he says, "I know you're concerned about your everyday life. I know you're concerned about feeding your families and about making ends meet." And he says to them there, he says, "I know this is important to you. I know that you are called to care for your families. But," he said, "I want you to realize that first of all, you need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as you do that, God will make a way for you to support your families." What takes priority in your life this evening? How do we know what takes priority in our life? Can we really know what's number one, what holds number one spot? I think, in my experience, it comes really close home, especially when I was a farmer. And there was hay that was just ready to be baled at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. And there was 90% chance of rain that night. It became very clear to me what was priority in my life. I had to make a choice, because my farming and my cattle, my dad's cattle, relied on that feed. But my dad taught me that priority was to go to church. And we'd get that feed whenever it dried again. And we put it in the barn. What takes priority in your life? You know, Luke chapter 12, real close to where we were earlier, verse 34 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This morning, or this evening, I just want to ask you the question, where is your treasure? What do you hold on to with both of your hands and won't let go of it? What do you find fulfillment in? What makes the final decision in your mind and in your heart and in your family on to where you go to church, where you live, what clothes you wear, what vehicle you drive? What makes the final decision? Because that very thing is your treasure. If you live in this community simply because it's a place where you can have a good occupation, I think you need to consider what's really most important to you. Tonight, if you come, if you find yourself as a young person and you find yourself needing to buy your clothes at the mall at a certain store, I think you need to consider what takes priority in my life. What am I feeding on? But what really holds first place? What's most important to me? You know, when I pushed that tree over in my yard, it became really obvious what that tree was attached to. It became really obvious to me. It became obvious to me what was important in that tree and where that tree was getting its nutrients, where it had tapped itself into. It looked just fine on the surface, but underneath, it wanted to look like a Mennonite. It wanted to look like the people of God. But over here, it wanted its fingers. It wanted its roots out into the world. It wanted to feed a little bit over here off the side. Tonight, what takes priority in your life? Why do I wear the clothes that I wear? Is it because of my love of Mennonite tradition? Is it because I love God and believe in modest, non-conform dress? Or is it because, do I wear the clothes that I do because it makes me fit into my group? Clothes so often tell us so much about really what does take priority in our hearts. What is the truth about what has a priority in your life and in my life? What does it say about the condition of my heart? I think it's a good way for us to check to find out what the truth is about our hearts. Thirdly, I'd like to look at the last point. What comes out of your mouth? You know, we can look good on the outside. We can convince others that our priority is serving God by our attendance of church, by our strict discipline to the standard, by following a creed to the letter. But what comes out of your mouth is another way that we can tell what the truth is about our hearts. Jesus had some pretty strong words for those who could speak out of both sides of their mouth. Those who, when they were with certain people, acted one way, and when they were with other people, they fit into that group. And he says that a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And then skipping down a couple verses, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, it seems like the truth always comes out. God has a way when we are living a life of hypocrisy. So often God has a way of bringing out in what we say, under pressure, the truth about what's inside. I think all of us have been around people who talk one way around certain groups and another around others. I know many times I've walked into one parts store in particular, and the men all know they're, I think they all know that I'm a minister. And I walk in the door, and several times I've been standing there, kind of back, waiting for my turn in line. And they'll be telling jokes, and all of a sudden they look over there, and the jokes are kind of dirty, and they look over, and I never said a word. In fact, I'm trying to ignore the joke. And they turn over, and they say, "Oh, excuse me, I didn't realize you were here," and that's the end of it. But what comes out of our mouth tells us about what is in our hearts. And I know that none of you here would say something, would try to do that. But I think as we find ourselves under pressure and those things come out hastily, we ought to consider they come from somewhere. And if something comes out of our mouth that shouldn't come out, we need to think about what's going on inside of our hearts. There's another aspect about what comes out of our hearts says something about our life. And that is when it comes to being willing to speak a word for God. Tonight, if I was to stop speaking right now and randomly called out your name for a testimony of what God is doing in your heart, what He has done in your heart this week, what would you say? Would you have a word to speak for God? Would you be willing to, would it just be right there on the top of your heart? And as I spoke that, would you say, would you have a glowing testimony to give? And maybe it would even be include a struggle. I find many times in my life, when I'm put on the spot like that, that I realize that maybe I'm not quite in tune with God as close as I ought to be. Because when I'm put on the spot, I don't have a lot to say, but yet, if I was standing in the group and we were discussing a certain piece of equipment, and someone asked me a question about Detroits or Cummins and semis, and I would have an answer just like that. Because I know what I believe about them. I know how I feel. But friends, tonight, what comes out of our mouth, what we're willing to share, tells something about what's going on in our heart. You know, as I pondered this message tonight, I work in a shop. And I'm a mechanic, somewhat of a mechanic anymore. I order more parts than I actually turn wrenches. But as a mechanic, we all understand the fact that it's much easier to take care of a problem before something blows up. It's much easier, as we think about the truth about your life, it's much easier to evaluate our hearts this evening. And to think seriously about the direction that we're going and to make corrections today than it is to come to the point when things blow up and then try to somehow or another put the pieces together and turn our life around and start over in the direction we want to go. God knows the truth about your heart. He said in our text verse, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." God knows the truth about your heart. Tonight, I'd like to just give an invitation. I'd like you to think about the truth about your heart. Tonight, if God is speaking to you, if you know that you are feeding on something other than what you ought to feed on. If you know that there you have problems with your thought life, if you know that God really is not number one, doesn't hold number one place in your heart, if you realize that under pressure, the things that are coming out of your mouth don't really line up with what being a Christian is all about, I'd like to just open it up and give you the opportunity to stand to your feet or raise your hand and just allow someone to give you help and to help you find your place again with a walk with God. What song will we sing this evening? Number 63. Number 63 in the favorite hymns of praise. Lord, I'm coming home. Let's begin. Let's sing verse 1 of number 63. He talks here of wasted years and bitter tears that come along with repentance. And tonight, it's so precious that we serve a God that He won't overlook sin. Never once will God overlook sin. But we serve a God who is willing and ready, just like the song here is talking about. I think it's giving us a picture of the story of the prodigal son. And our God is not willing to make us a slave, not willing to just make us as some low downcast because we've not always followed Him. But He's willing to forgive completely, to open His arms and welcome us home. Tonight, we're going to close a formal invitation at this point, but the invitation is open. If you find yourself within your heart, as we ponder the words that God has shared with us tonight, as you ponder those words, if you find yourself realizing there's sin that needs to be taken care of, there's a weakness, there's a falling away taking place, the invitation is always open to come home. Lord, bless each one tonight for coming, for being an attentive audience, and continue to pray that God would speak to our needs, speak to our hearts, and inspire us to a closer walk with Him. Are there any announcements that need to be made tonight? I'm assuming that you all are taking care of the announcements when you have devotions, but I just was curious. I knew last evening I closed and I didn't give room for time for announcements.
Saturday evening we plan to begin the service a half hour early.
Saturday evening, the service begins a half hour early, so it begins at 6:30 on Saturday evening. And that is the same with Sunday evening as well. Does it start at, or is it, what time does it start Sunday evening?
6:30
Sunday evening. Okay. So the service on Saturday evening begins at 6:30 as well as Sunday evening. Thank each one for coming and for being an attentive audience this evening. Let's continue to allow God to work in our hearts, and I covet your prayers. Keep praying and allow that I would allow God to speak to me and through me, and that we would allow God to speak to our needs. Let's stand for a word of prayer at this time. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we pause at the close of this service with hearts that are sobered with the realization that we are so often prone to wandering from you. We are so often prone to feeding on things that will ruin our relationship with you. And dear God, tonight we just pray that you would continue to speak to our needs. Continue to extend mercy and forgiveness to us as we fail. Continue to help us to have hearts that are soft and pliable before you. Hearts that connect with your heartbeat and that see our need of you as very real in every day of our life. Lord, we just pray for each one as we leave this place. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon this little congregation here. Help us to go from here and to be shining lights and a bright witness in this dark and evil world. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who was convicted but was unwilling or unsure of themselves to stand or to make it known, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to their needs, that you would in mercy and love seek out and restore and revive us more completely into your image. That's what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.